Let us pray. Lord, in the beauty of this reading, may the Holy Spirit open our eyes to see and recognize you here in our presence, in all of your loveliness and glory. Amen. Well, hello. I want to say it's good to be home. Holly and I did our little post Easter break down in the deep south, in the Big Easy, where we ate all of the spicy hot crayfish and shrimp gumbo that we could care to eat, along with some great jazz. But it is good to be home. And I want to say again, thank you to the leaders who have watched over this parish in our absence, to the wardens who worked so hard with it, and to John. Did you notice his new stole? Did you notice that beautiful stole? Butterflies, and if you look carefully, the word Alleluia is across the center of it, made by a very special and talented lady in his life named Dorothy. And he and I look pretty good this morning. He's in butterflies and I'm in flowers. We're like a post-Easter garden here. It's great to be with you. I want to ask the question, how many of you remember the first time you ever caught a fish? You remember it? It's unforgettable, isn't it? That first fish moment is, I think, a memory that anybody who has experienced that retains. I'll never forget my first fish. I was 13 years old in seventh grade, and we lived in a place sort of sandwiched between South Tacoma and Federal Way called Browns Point. And I decided one day I was going to go fishing. Now, I'm not sure what got into my head. I love the Field & Stream magazine, but nobody in my family was an outdoorsman or a fisherman. My dad certainly was not a fisherman. He didn't even like to eat fish. So I had somehow gotten a hold of a fishing pole and line and a little bit of a tackle, maybe a hook, and I dug up some earthworms, and off I went to this little creek I decided to try. A bridge crossed over it in Browns Point State Park, about a 20-30 minute walk up the road, a highway, and when I got to the bridge, I climbed over the fence and worked my way down into this gully where a beautiful, burbling creek passed through this gully headed toward Puget Sound. I didn't quite know what to do, but I started looking for a likely spot to throw in a hook. And when I found this lovely deep pool with a big log under there, and I thought, now that looks like a home for a fish. And I somehow managed to get the hook on the line and the worm on the hook. And I threw it in to this deep hole. And wouldn't you know it, in about 2 minutes, bam, it came out from under the log, and he hit my hook and worm and took it hook, line, and whatever. And the fight was on for a couple of minutes until I managed to get this beautiful 8-inch rainbow trout up on the grass, and I stood there looking at it in amazement. My first fish. And I was done. But that was it. That was all I needed. So, I mean, I didn't know if you had to have a permit form or anything. I didn't know if you could catch a fish in a state park. But there you go. I had my fish. And I wrapped him up in whatever I could find and walked him home 30 minutes. And I proudly, as proud as you can imagine, presented my first fish to my mother, who... you know, she didn't know how to clean it. I didn't know how to clean it. But she appropriately oohed and awed over my fish. She wrapped it up in newspaper and put it in the freezer until enough time had passed that I completely forgot about it. And then she threw it away. My first fish. I'll never forget it. Our gospel reading today is a fishing story. Seven of Jesus' disciples are together at the Sea of Tiberias. We know it better as the Sea of Galilee. It's interesting that they are still together here after all the events that have happened to them. Jesus, whom they followed for 3 years, has been crucified. Astonishingly, they have since seen him on two occasions. One of the disciples, Thomas, could not believe that he had risen. He said, "I won't believe it unless I see him and touch him myself." Our bishop, Michael, who, by the way, you know, our bishop has announced his retirement. Maybe not all of you know that happened while I was away. And so our bishop's going to be retiring. We'll have an electoral synod for an episcopal position in our near future. I remember one time he said to me he thought Thomas was a good Anglican, or would have made a good Anglican. Well, Thomas did have a healthy cynicism about things, but I think he was a good Anglican, because when he was confronted with the reality of Jesus, he set his doubts aside, and he believed, wholeheartedly believed, that's a good Anglican. Nathanael was also there among them. Do you remember the first thing that the first time Jesus met Nathanael, that he called him a true Israelite in whom there was nothing false? And Nathanael was so deeply impacted by Jesus in that moment that he responded, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Nathanael was the very first disciple to call Jesus the Son of God. And Jesus told him that he would one day see the heavens open up and the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Sons of Zebedee were there that night, there sitting on the beach together. James and John, the impetuous and stormy brothers who wanted Jesus to destroy his enemies by fire, and who, by the way, asked him through their mother if he would let them sit on his right and left hand in his coming kingdom. They were there on the beach with the others that night. So was John, who refers to himself in this passage as the disciple whom Jesus loved. John was at the cross when Jesus, about to die, commissioned him to care for his mother Mary. John was also in the empty tomb along with Peter early on that Sunday morning. Here he was, there with the others by the sea, along with Peter. And what was going on in Peter's mind that night? Remember that just a few short days ago, Peter had denied Jesus, not just once, but three times he had denied that he even knew the man. Peter, who had vowed that he would rather die than let anyone harm his Lord, probably watched him hanging on the cross. That betrayal must have weighed upon his heart like a lead anchor. Well, the sea was a place of comfort and solace for him. It's what he knew the best, since he was a fisherman by trade when Jesus had called him. Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And the others said, "We'll go along with you." And so they all got into a boat and headed out upon the waters that night there on the Sea of Galilee. Now, the first thing that just strikes me as I read this passage again is that they all got into that boat together. All these men are as different from each other as night from day. Different personalities, different backgrounds, different ways of relating to Jesus, but they all got into the same boat together. There's no more bickering with one another. There's no condemning each other, no more jockeying for power or position among them. They were all there in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus, and they all ran away. They've been through the pain and trauma of the recent days, and yet here they are, together in the same boat, pushing out upon the water. I think this is a picture of the church. I think this is a picture of our church. We two are as different as each other as night from day, aren't we? I mean, we come from different backgrounds, from different countries, from different denominations, and we've all come to Jesus in our own way. And yet here we are together. And it's important to understand that nobody is more important than anybody else here. We're all equal in this boat. We're all sinners, saved by grace. And every person here has value and importance in the kingdom of God. And we've been through a lot together. Some of us have been sick. Some of our members and our loved ones have passed away. All of us have endured the challenges and traumas of the last 10 years in our diocese. We've been through this together. And our diocese is about to be shaken again, isn't it? As we seek the Lord's will for the future. And through it all, here we are in our little boat, our boat called St. Mark's, floating on Ocean Park. And we're together. And that's the church. Together, in the same boat, pushing out by faith onto the waters of the deep. I'm glad to be with you. I am. The scripture says they fished all night without any success. That's not easy, you know. I mean, it's not easy. I don't know how difficult fishing is, but I think it wasn't easy for them. I don't like fishing at night. That's not easy. You lose a night of sleep, and you know, you work hard. It's been hard working around. They fished all night without any success. And sometimes that's the way it goes. We've been working hard around this place called St. Mark's Ocean Park. And we've accomplished a lot over the last several years. If you were to sit down with me and just look at all the things that have been done around in this place, in the property and the building, in the ministries of our parish over the last 3 to 4 years. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's hard work. And I know some of our leaders are tired because it's hard work. Sometimes it's successful. Sometimes you work long and hard and you don't seem to make any progress. Often you labor on in the darkness with seemingly little or no return. Like fishing, you don't catch a thing. But the important thing is to be in the boat together, to be working together by faith. We cast our nets onto the water early in the morning. They were about 100 yards offshore and then ready to call it quits. When a man stood on the shore, Scripture tells us that it was Jesus, but they didn't recognize him. Like Mary, standing outside the garden tomb, met someone who she thought was the gardener. It was Jesus, but they don't recognize him. Friends, he called out to them, have you caught any fish? No, they answered. Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And here's the second thing that jumps out at me in this passage today. Jesus is present with them. He's there, even in the darkness, even when we don't know it, even when we are uncertain, even when we do not recognize him, Jesus is there. He promised his disciples that he would not leave them. He told them that for a while they won't see him, and then they'd see him again. And here he is keeping his promise to them, to us. And there's something else exciting about this moment. Jesus was directing them even though they didn't realize it. They thought they were alone. They thought that Jesus was no longer in the picture. They thought they were on their own, but it wasn't so. Jesus was there. And not only there, he was showing them the way forward. Throw your net onto the right side of the boat, he said. There in the darkness. You know, Holly and I both picked up a bug this holiday. Seems to be a pattern. Now, Pat Aiken has offered that on the next holiday, he'd go in my place. Thank you, Pat. I told him my next holiday is going to be a stay at home, so you can go in my place. Anyway, we got this bug, and last night I had a little trouble. I was coughing in the night, didn't want to wake Holly, so I got up and I went upstairs and I went back to sleep on the sofa. I had a sleeping pill in me to help me sleep, and oh, sorry. So at 5 o'clock in the morning, my gizmo, because my pattern is to, when I'm preaching, is to get up at 5 in the morning and spend an hour editing and working and kind of warming things up, as you might say. So I'm ready to go. At 5 in the morning, the gizmo went off. You know that little nice pleasing marimba sound. Never heard a thing. I never heard a thing. I don't know how long it goes before it finally throws in the towel and says, he's no good, forget about him. But at 5:34, I heard a voice call me. And I thought it might be Holly, because she calls me in the morning for coffee if I'm nowhere around, you know. But it was a man's voice, and I knew she was sleeping in. Going to miss the first service. It wasn't her. I heard this voice just as clear as a bell, deep in my sleep, said, "Craig," just like that. And I woke up. And I looked around, and I found a little alarm clock, and it said almost 5:30. And I got up. Now, there are only two people who would speak to me at 5:30 in the morning. Holly's one of them. It got me up. You know, praise the Lord. John almost didn't have a preacher for the first service. But somebody called my name, Craig. In the dark night, we have to believe that the Lord is there and that he is directing us, encouraging us, leading the way, showing us the way forward. Even though they didn't know it was the Lord, the disciples threw the net out on the right side of the boat, and boom, boom, they took the line. You ever had the fish take the bait, hit the bait, and take the line? That's the most exciting moment in fishing. You wait and you wait and you wait, and then suddenly, wham, and zzz, out it goes, and the fight is on. But the real thrill is when the fish first hits the bait. As soon as the net was in the water, they struck finned silver, and it was an amazing catch, a once-in-a-lifetime catch. A great catch of fish. And while the disciples were still struggling to hold onto this net, violently full of fighting fish, John made a sudden intuitive leap of faith, a deduction in the darkness, and he said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And that's all Peter needed to hear. Forget the fish. He grabbed his cloak, wrapped it around him, and jumped into the water to swim ashore. And here's the third moment that jumps out at me. This leap of faith into the water. When you see the Lord standing there, you got to jump into the water. It's the second time we have seen Peter get out of the boat to go to Jesus. And it's the second time we have seen him get wet. But what a wonderful example he sets for us in this passage. When Peter knew it was Jesus, he held nothing back. He who was dead is now alive and standing before him. Peter didn't do anything halfway, did he? He threw himself with unbounded enthusiasm into wherever his heart would lead him. And Peter demonstrates for us in this moment a holy enthusiasm. Too often we hold back when it comes to our faith. Peter gets it. He jumps in and he holds nothing back. Where do you want to be this morning? Would you rather be sitting over a meal of pot and meat and Goshen or stepping out in the Red Sea with Moses? Would you rather be looking out a window with Michael criticizing how somebody else is worshiping or leaping and dancing with David before the Ark of God? Would you rather be stressed in the kitchen with Martha worrying about the pots and pans or sitting at the feet of Jesus? Would you rather be hushing the children with the Pharisees or shouting hosannas and throwing your cloak before the coming king? Peter didn't even stop to think. He jumped. He jumped feet first into the water for God. And that doesn't mean that Peter was less intelligent. He was no dummy. God doesn't want us to check our minds at the door. But Peter was willing to take a leap of faith into the water in order to get to Jesus. Jesus was there, fish and chips on the beach. Maybe it was fish and bread on the beach. What a meal that must have been. I would have loved to have been at that fire and shared that meal on that morning. They were shy in his presence, but the Bible says that they knew it was the Lord. The story has a lot to teach us this morning about faith. In just a few minutes, we're going to share a meal with Jesus, the bread and the cup of the Lord. And we're here together in this boat called St. Mark's on Ocean Park. We're here, and he has invited us to come to his table and share this meal. He wants us there. He's welcoming us, and he is with us. Some of you may not be able to see him very well this morning. Maybe the eyes are veiled for some reason or another, but I promise you on the authority of God's word that Jesus is here. He's here in our presence. He's here in the breaking of the bread. And not only is he here with us, he's directing us. He's leading us as his church and his people. He is showing us the way forward. Throw your nets on the right side of the boat. And our response is of joy and recognition. With our minds and our hearts, we jump into the water with joy in order to be with our Lord. What a wonderful passage this is. What a wonderful way to respond to Jesus. And I pray that you will. I pray that you do. I pray I don't break this place apart. Hallelujah. May the Lord lead us forward into the season of Easter. Fill us with all of his grace and mercy and presence, and help us to respond in faith and enthusiasm and in joy. Amen.